So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
So I want to talk to you tonight about three things we all need. Three things we all need. The book of Ephesians, go there with me. The other two places we're going to read here in a moment, but let's start in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Keep me in prayer. We've got just a little under the weather, hadn't been able to stop. Somebody asked me, well, Pastor, did you enjoy vacation last week? Yeah, camp meeting is not vacation. And matter of fact, I was in more meetings than I was in church. And when I'm in those meetings, I really have to pray. Because I need the Lord to help me edit. And matter of fact, the staff took away my gun before I went into those meetings. And then some pretty heavy things, decisions that were made that affect me and us. And so just a lot going on. And then I was under the weather last Sunday, a week ago, and I don't think I've recovered quite yet, but I'm believing for a healing. Amen. 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 You know, one day I heard Joyce Meyer say it, and the Lord brings it to my remembrance all the time. And I would say, Lord, I'm just so tired. He says, I didn't have anything to do with your schedule. That's right. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's given us every spiritual blessing. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And here's where I wanted to... The first point I want to zero in on, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And by which he made us accepted. Would you look at your neighbor and tell them, he will accept you even when I don't. Now that's for real. That's for real. Now, how many knows that there is a difference in accepting you and accepting your lifestyle? Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference in accepting you and loving you, but condoning what you do is different. We can accept one another without agreeing with one another. But we can also accept people. You know, some people, when our church first started growing, people said, oh, we know why your church is growing. Y'all let anybody come. I go, yeah, we do. I thought that's what you're supposed to do. You know, that's what we still do. But now, again, accepting you and condoning what you do is two different things. Right? You can love your children without accepting what they do. Not everything my children do I like. But that doesn't change my love for them. And some of us are calling us ourselves in good standing with God. And we are, in a sense, but yet God is not pleased with the way that we conduct our lives. You know, I don't know why, but when I thought about, they said that y'all just let anybody come. They said that before you started coming, Papa. Before Gypsy started coming, they said you let anybody come. Now if we let them see who we accept, boy, it'd just be even worse, won't it? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, they accepted me, so you're in good standing. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, there's a lot of bones in the church. Let me talk about a couple of them before I go on. And there's the wishbones, who wish somebody else would do the work. Then there's the jawbones, who they talk a lot about what they're going to do, but usually do nothing. Then there's the knucklebone, and they knock what everybody else does. And then there's the funny bones, those that just look at you funny when you ask them to do something. But then you got the backbones, who actually do the work. I'm believing for 700 backbones. I'm believing God. I mean, we're doing what we are doing on about 242 backbones the last time I checked. What do you mean, Pastor? 242 people volunteer somewhere on this campus and in this ministry somewhere along in a month. I'm not talking about you do it four times a month and we count you four times. 242 individuals give at least an hour and a half or 2 hours of their time to this church in a volunteer position somewhere along the lines. And those are the backbones of this church. So I don't know who everybody is, but could you just give yourself a hand? Amen. Thank you, all the backbones in the house. Amen. So God wants us all to be backbones. He called us and saved us to be backbones, and He wants us to be involved in what He is doing, not only in the world, but what He's doing right here in Crystal River. Because I want you to know something, that God is at work here in Crystal River. God is at work, and He's still on the throne. He has not relinquished His hold here in Crystal River. He is still on the throne. And, you know, you go to camp meeting, you're around a lot of different people from a lot of different places. And somebody said to me this past week, well, you know, at least up there in Crystal River, y'all are in the rural area, so therefore y'all don't deal with what we deal with. I said, shoot, people leave the city because they're tired of dealing with that, and they bring it to the rural area, and then they bring all their mess and junk to the rural area. So they're trying to hide it in the rural area. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter where you go, people are people, and you deal with the same stuff. Here's the reality. The devil's a big devil, but God's a bigger God. The devil doesn't care whether you're in the city or whether you're in the rural or you're in the country, but neither does God. Matter of fact, God said, if you would delight yourself in me, I'd bless you in the city and I'll bless you in the country. I'd bless you coming in and I'd bless you going out. So God said, I don't care what the world says. I know how to bless you right where you are and wherever you may be in your life. So I'm glad to say that God is moving today, and I'm glad that you chose to be here tonight, because you could have stayed home and been a couch potato, but you chose to be here. And there are three things that we all want, and there are three things that we all need. And you may say, well, I don't need those. Au contraire, you with little hair. Yes, you do need them. You will. Why don't you look at Jim, Amy? Come on. You do need them, even though you might not think you do. What is the first one? Well, it gives us our text says that we are accepted in Him. Everybody in this room wants to be accepted. Everybody in this room needs acceptance. And I'm amazed at what some of us will do just so that we can be accepted. Now, what is the opposite of being accepted? It is being rejected. And everybody in here on some level deals with rejection. I mean, Pastor Steve has preached some incredibly informative, anointed messages on rejection. And everybody in here has had, in one form or another, rejection. And if you're so conceited to say you've never been rejected, then just live a little bit longer because it's coming. Everybody has been rejected in some area of their life. And rejection is a powerful thing. And it's amazing what we do in order to impress people. I say this all the time. We spend money we don't have to impress people we don't even like, just so that we can impress them. Because we are all about wanting to be accepted. Some of us started drinking because of trying to be accepted. Years ago, you would start smoking to try to be accepted. Some have started being promiscuous in order to be accepted. You do things that you wouldn't normally do just so people wouldn't say you're weird. Well, you just need to go ahead and tell some folks, I am weird because I'm not like the world. I am a chosen generation and I'm not the same as everybody else because Jesus came and saved my soul. Can you say amen? So, you know, let me give you an example about trying to impress people. I saw this story today that a major was assigned to a new office on a military base. And while working there, he was setting up his office and a private knocked on the door. Well, the major quickly picked up the phone and motioned the private in. And while the private stood there, the major said, "Yes, sir, General Schwarzkopf. I think that is an excellent idea." "No, no, no, sir. That's fine. You call me anytime." "Yes, sir. I'm glad I could be of help." "Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will. And you give my best to your family as well." "Thank you, sir. And you have a good day, General Schwarzkopf." And as the major hung up the phone, he looked at the private and asked, "What can I do for you, private?" And the private was a little embarrassed because he said, "I'm here to hook up your phone." The things that we do to try to be accepted, the things that we do to try to impress people. And we don't want to be rejected, and nobody does. There was a pastor, true story, a pastor in the seminary, and as a pastor, was really shy as a child. No, no, it wasn't me. And he went into seminary still shy in a lot of ways. And one of the reasons why he was shy, because he had a partially cleft lip. And he didn't get it fixed till after marriage. But he struggled to accept who he was. And until he struggled with a sense of worthiness. Now, I know some of us don't struggle with that, but a lot of us do. That it's hard for us to believe that God could forgive us for what we did and doesn't hold it to our charge. But he struggled with a sense of worthiness. And it was in his second year, he writes, that in seminary he began experiencing significant breakthrough. He was reading a book required by the professor, and I would also endorse it, I've read it, entitled The Holy Spirit and Devotional Life by a Chinese pastor called Watchman Nee. Great book. But in that book was a section about the blood of Jesus and how much that it was valued by God the Father. And it was at that point that this man began to receive into his spirit what he was, that he was accepted by God. Now, I want you to think about this. Here this man is. It didn't say how long he was. He didn't say he was writing it. He didn't say how long he had been saved. But he's in his second year of seminary and still never felt like that he was accepted by God, even though he accepted the call of God. I've come by to tell you that it is not relegated to somebody who just got saved that you struggle with being accepted by God, accepted by the church, accepted by other people, but I've come by to tell you that the blood of Jesus is bigger and greater and stronger and more powerful than anything you've ever done in your life. It has the power to set you free. You just got to be to understand to accept it. Now, I think here was the crusher. He did not have to earn God's love. He had it. God accepted him. But here it was. The truth is, the truth that he had known in his head was suddenly made real in his heart. And most of us miss heaven by 18 inches. You miss heaven by 18 inches because some of us get it in our head, but we can't get it in our heart. See, that's why you don't have to be a theologian. I applaud theologians, and all of us need to work to show ourselves approved to study so that we can have more knowledge, but we need that. However, you don't have to have it here all the time, but you've got to have it here. Because God didn't come to save your head, he came to save your heart. Because if you're like me, my heart is right, but I still say some stupid stuff sometimes. If you're like me, my heart is right, but yet my intentions are misaligned sometimes. My intentions are misread sometimes, but my heart is right. And so therefore, you've got to get the truth that you know in your head down into your heart. Because I know so many people who know the word. Who know the word, but they can't live the word because it's a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. So that's where we've got to say it's not just a book. It's a manual for life. See, this is the revelation that changes from trying to trusting and achieving and receiving. That's right there, getting a heart knowledge instead of just a head knowledge. You know, I'm trying to trust. You change it to I'm achieving and trusting. I'm achieving and receiving what God said I can have. The person who suffered the worst rejection of all time was the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the world spit in his face, and his father had to turn his back on him. Because of rejection. I don't know, you know, now some of us go, yeah, that was tough. No, I want you to understand it. And I want to talk to you for a moment, us Pentecostals. What do you mean? I'm talking about those who understand the presence of God when you're in it. See, some people don't know what that is, but those of us who understand the presence of God, I want you to think about constantly, for all you've ever known is being in the presence of God, because the only thing that separates us from the presence of God is sin. So I want you to think about Jesus, man that knew no sin, always in the presence of God. He was God the Son in heaven. He came to earth and began still operating as 100% man, but 100% God. But because that he had not fallen, he was with God and God was with him. And he sensed the presence of God for 33 years while he was on this earth. And then they hung him on a cross. And at the most crucial time, when you needed somebody to go, I know what you're doing. When you needed somebody to say, I trust you, when at the moment in time, the Lord Jesus or the Lord God turned his back so that he wouldn't look on his sin. You want to talk about rejection. We're upset because somebody said something about us. Well, they wouldn't let me in their clique. Well, maybe God didn't want you in their clique. God had to boot some of you out of a clique just so he could get you checked in. But Jesus was the ultimate rejection. Rejected by the people who loved him. The disciples. Everybody just, woo. Peter. Man, Peter's one of my guys. I love Peter. Why? Because he was a loudmouth. I like Peter, but boy, Peter, you didn't play with Peter. Peter would cut your ear off. That's my kind of man. Peter didn't play. But Peter, you know, and but here's the thing. My brother told me one day, he said, my older brother Randy, he said, you know, Ronnie, he said, when I think about you and me, I think about that you're Peter and I'm John the Beloved. And I said, well, thanks a lot. Well, he didn't say John the Beloved. He said, I look at myself as John and you're Peter. I go, I denied Christ 3 times and you're John the Beloved. Thanks a lot, Randy. He goes, no, man. He said, remember, Peter was the only one that walked on the water. He says, and you would be the Peter in the apostles. You're the one who'd just jump out there and go, okay, God, here I am. Woohoo. He said, me, I'd be analyzing everything. I'd be like John. I said, yeah, John the Beloved. I said, why couldn't you be Doubting Thomas?
He's so sweet.
Because he's so sweet, that's why. I hate him. But you've got to recognize God understands and Jesus understands our need for acceptance. Because that's what we really want. We want to be accepted. You ask any blended family, the stepmom or the stepdad, all they want to be is accepted. The stepchildren, all they want to be is accepted. You go to any group, and there's always a group, and then there's somebody on the outside, and what they really want is to be accepted. Sometimes people act out because they want to be accepted. They do things because they want to be accepted and they don't know how to be accepted. You know, I I've shared this before, but I know that some of you struggle to see me like this, but I am a little shy in certain situations. And I went several months ago, back in January or February, I don't remember, I was in a group of the top 200 what they call the top 200 pastors in America for the Church of God. And we were like, our church is like number 99, and we were there. And as I was there, Pastor Steve texted me. He goes, hey, how's it going? I go, man, I don't belong here. I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I do not belong here. I'm not accepted. I'm just waiting for somebody to ask me, what about my degree? Because I don't have one. You know, I got a degree. Somebody asked me, what's your degree? I said, I got a BA degree. Oh, really? And what? I said, born again. That's what my degree's in. Amen. I'm born again. I said, does it count that my mama had a PhD, Pentecostal hairdo? But anyway. But I just didn't feel comfortable. And I don't feel comfortable around those areas. But what I really wanted was just to be accepted. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Everybody in this room wants to be accepted. I want you to know that Jesus accepts you. He loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. He's going to continue to love you. I'm not saying that he's accepting your lifestyle. He accepts you. And he loves you. And the Bible says he has made us accepted in the Beloved. The second thing that everybody in this room needs, we need acceptance, but we also need affection. Affection. The Bible says, give me our next scripture. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 13, they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. For such is the kingdom of God. See, we're to be children in the sense that we want to be in the presence of Jesus, that we want to be touched by him, that we come with our eyes in awe and our faces lit up, inquisitive. You know, we want to be there. And he said, but the Bible's telling us that we need that affection. Listen to me. Never underestimate the power of touch. Never underestimate the power of touch. Those of us who either we do it for a hobby or whatever, who like to look at or people read, who read people behavior. You can tell, if you didn't know this, I'm gonna let some secrets out right here. There's a couple of things. You know, if a girl likes a boy, you'll see them touch their arm. Because everybody needs touch. Everybody wants acceptance and everybody wants touch. A study was done. You know what I think about studies. And this one just really dumbfounded me today. I found this study. A study was done among infant orphans in Europe after the war. All right, that's not too bad. It was discovered that those babies that were caressed and handled survived. Here's what gets me. But the babies who received no physical touch died, even though they were fed. Yeah, that's what I said. What? Yeah, that's barbaric, isn't it? Let's do a study. Let's see if these kids die. I mean, I don't understand that. All right, well, don't blame Donald Trump. It was in Europe. But somehow he'll get the blame. Let me move on. Human beings need affection. We need to be touched. Touch is one of the five love languages. That if it, you know, your love language is, what is it? I don't remember all of them. Affirmation, words of affirmation, touch, time, gifts. That's, yeah, trinkets and things, all of mine are T's. And acts of service. See, I use the five T's. Touch, task, time, trinkets and things, and talk. So, but many people, they need to be touched. That's one of my love languages. That's why I'm a hugger. You know, and everybody asks me sometimes, Pastor, you must have come from a really loving family. Nope. Not really. I've got a sister out of 11, and her and I are huggers. And we're more touchy-feely. And my sister told me one day, she goes, oh, I just tell everybody, you're just like me. You just have my personality. I go, no, I don't. I'm masculine. You're feminine. I'm complete different. One Sunday in a church service, as a deacon was passing the offering plate from one road to the next, he just felt led to gently reach out and touch and lightly grasp the shoulder of a doctor who sat at the end of the row. The doctor had recently gone through a divorce. Later in the day, he called the deacon home and asked him if he would meet him at his office. And when the deacon arrived, entered the office, he found the doctor weeping. The broken-hearted physician began sharing with the caring deacon how much the touch meant to him. He was falling apart on the inside and just needed someone to know and to care. See, I tell people all the time, sometimes you come to church, the touch you get might not be from a staff member. But it might have been from the greeter. It might have been from the parking lot attendant. It might have been from somebody in the Hebrews Cafe. It might have been somebody on your row. Whomever. That's why you need to be in the house of God. And I'm so glad that we have this service of streaming live. But can I just tell you, those of you that don't come because you're just lazy, it's not the same. You need to be in the house of God so that other people can touch you and not just go through this, because I can't hug you from here. Ain't nobody in here hug you from there. But thank God that we have it. I'm glad you're watching. However, there's nothing that takes the place of being in the house of God around His people. But Pastor, His people hurt me. Yes, they have. And let me go on record. They've hurt me. And I've hurt some, but the reality is God has used so many people to restore me. God has used so many people to love me. God has used so many people to give me that touch and let me know and affirm me and let me know that I'll be all right. Never underestimate the power of touch. Think of all the people in Scripture who were touched by the one touched of Jesus. How many people do you know that are falling apart on the inside and simply need a touch of affirming love? How many people are filled with fear and need to know that they're not alone? How many people are fearful but they're afraid of tomorrow? And you know, here's what I learned a long time ago as a pastor. I used to think when I first started, pastoring, I thought I had to know all the answers. But I realized, I there's no way I can know all the answers, especially when I was 24. I didn't know grits was groceries. So by the age of 25, I began to understand I didn't have to have all the answers. But sometimes just being there is enough. Sometimes just that touch is enough. Just, but watch where you touch people this day and time. But touching people is such a part of who you are and what you need. It kind of reminds me of the little girl who was frightened during this thunderstorm, and she came and crawled into the bed with mom and dad, and mom said, "Honey, don't be scared. God is in there with you." And the little girl said, "Mommy, why don't I sleep in here with daddy and you go in there with God?" Yeah. I almost told this one at Father's Day, but I like this one. When the same scenario, thunderstorm was going on, and the mama went in to check on the girl because the girl was crying, and she said, "Honey, you'll be all right. God is in here." She goes, "Mama, sleep with me. Sleep in here with me." She goes, "No, baby, I got to go sleep with daddy." And as she was walking away, the little girl said, "That big sissy." We all need to feel close to other people. Even when we don't want to be around other people. Sometimes just knowing that they're there. I've had people tell me, "Pastor, I don't know what to say when tragedy happens." And they don't put a manual out for pastors either. Let me just say that. And so sometimes, we don't know what to say either. But just being there. Just being there. Many times we're insensitive. The church is the one place you ought to be able to come and be loved. Now again, do not get it confused. Being loved and condoning are two different things. You can be loved without condoning. Amen? All right, third thing, what we need. We need affection. We need acceptance, but we also need appreciation. Everybody in this room needs appreciation. Everybody in this room wants to be appreciated what you do. If you don't want to be appreciated, then you are really messed up. See, even the baby's applauding for me. He said, "That's right. Y'all appreciate me." Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse number 44 begins like this. "Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil.'" Hallelujah. "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Listen, church, there is a shortage of the attitude of gratitude. It is a shortage in our day and time of being grateful for what people do for us. It is the gratitude is gone for what people not only do for us, but what they say to us, what they give us. We've got to be grateful even for what we have. We're not grateful for what we have. We always look into the next thing of what we want instead of being thankful for where we are. And the key to your next level is this level. Did you hear me? The key to your next level is this level. You got to be thankful for where you are in order to get to the next level. You got to be able to handle where you are till you get to the next level. "Well, I'll be happy once I get that new house." No. You got to learn how to have the joy of the Lord in your house that you are presently in. Paul said that I have learned to whatever condition I find myself in to be content. I'm all right. Wherever I find myself, I'm going to be all right because my joy is not in stuff or in people, but my joy is in the Lord. Come on, somebody. You got to recognize that where you are, you got to be thankful for. The fastest way to stop the blessings of God in your life is not be thankful for what He has given you, or you try to take credit for what He has done. It's the fastest way to stop the blessings. But as long as you keep giving God all the praise, all the glory, and all the credit, then get ready for the blessing to continue on in your life. Be thankful for what He is doing, what He's already done, and what He's going to do. You can give Him glory and give Him praise, however that is, lifting your hands, by verbalizing it, by thanking Him, whatever it is, but you need to make sure you give Him praise. Well, the problem is, though, Pastor, what has created this attitude? What has created this attitude? Many factors has created this attitude that where there is no gratitude. See, there's not an attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude of entitlement. It is in the world, but it's also crept in the church. It's also in the church. I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to it. You know, I'll never forget one day, many years ago. Don't want to tell this or not. No, I think not. See, my edit button works sometimes. Where's my wife? There she is. Every once in a while. How do we create this attitude? What's my next slide? I think it's my last one. Receiving without giving. That's where it gets. If all you do is receive, 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 and you never learn how to give. You talking about money? No, but yes. I'm talking about in everything in life. I'm talking about your heart issues. You know, there's always, in a healthy relationship, there is give and take. Give and take. But if all you are is a taker, the giver's going to get tired of that one day. It may take them 20 years, but they're going to get tired of that, I promise you. And if you say, well, I got kids, all they do is give, take, 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 take. You know, when you're a year old, or when you're a few months old, there's nothing that baby can give you except for the joy of smiling at you when they're happy. Smiling at you, thinking, all right, I got a present for you, come change it. Ain't that right, Stephen? You know, there's not much, but as they get older, their smiles, I mean, it changes, right? You know, I'll never forget, and I've told this story before, but I'd taken our children on a vacation, and we were going up a ski lift, and my brothers and their kids were there, and I was with my brother Jesse and his daughter Darian, and we were going up the lift, and my daughter turned to me and she said, Daddy, thank you so much, unsolicited, thank you so much for bringing us on this vacation. Daddy, I know how you sacrificed to bring us here, and I just want you to know I thank you. And I go, oh, honey, my pleasure. Just bless me, right? Then my brother heard what my daughter said and looked at hers, at his. And she said, what? He said, is there something you want to say? She goes, no, not really. And see, that's the difference in our parenting. I would have knocked her off the lift. And said she slipped. Amen. How do I apply this then, Pastor? The principle of reciprocation is that you reciprocate, is that you give and you get. Give to somebody else what your heart needs, and you will receive it back multiplied. You know, I tell people all the time, I hug people because I need hugs. I try to treat people well because I need to be treated well. Why? Because if I'm not treated well, I will fly off. No. Come here. All right, even in music. If you don't give and take, you give. What are you doing? I'm trying to make a point. You're giving. I don't want your giving right now. But see, if I don't take, then I can't change anything else. There is a give and take in music to make it beautiful. You know, there's a pedal right here that will cause it to sustain. If I don't have it, but if I hold the give, even when I'm trying to give more, it becomes mangled. But if I use the give and take properly, sometimes the pedal's broke. So you get what I'm trying to say? No. All right. There's a remedial sermon after this one. Just stay after class and I'll tell you. All right. See, because here's what we tend to do, guys. We tend to reject people who reject us. We tend to hate those who hate us. We tend to be most ungrateful to those who most unconditionally give to us. You know, the problem is when you're a giver and you hook up with a taker. That relationship's not going to last long unless the taker learns how to give back. Because the reason why we give is because we need. I give you love because I need love. The three things that everybody needs is acceptance, affection, and appreciation. Charles Swindoll said, "I am convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it." So what steps of faith can you take? It's hard to steer a car that's parked. You need to take a step toward God. And then you'll experience Him leading you in your life. We can give it to someone else. We can give that affection. We can give that acceptance. We can give that appreciation. See, I go out of my way many times if I see someone sitting by themselves to try to bring them into the crowd. Why? Because I was that guy. And times I'm still that guy. I'm not in the clique. I'm not in that. You know, and it's not something I do just because I'm the pastor. I find myself doing it where I'm not really the pastor. I'm a guest. But I see someone sitting along and I try to bring them into our group. And sometimes I do it at personal expense. What do you mean? Because I don't want to do it. My wife and my children have told me from time to time, "Hey, Dad, you're not the pastor today. Ronnie, you're not pastoring." But it's just something that I do. And Lord, this sounds like I'm all that in a bag of chips. No, no. I'm all messed up. That's why I need that. I know what it is to be on the outside and not accepted. When I started preaching the regional bishop, which now I am, when we first came into the Church of God, came to Sharon and I, and they said, "You guys will never make it in the Church of God." Well, thanks for telling me. And now I'm the chairman of the state council. Wait, think about that, James Rogers. But, you know, we've been told that, man. Whatever you've been told, give that acceptance away. Give that appreciation away. Do you know that appreciation has to be practiced? Because if you're not careful, you'll get that entitlement. You'll get that entitlement. Well, they're just they're supposed to do that. We need to receive from Him, and we will give what He gives us to other people. I want to take a few moments tonight. Now, I think I'm going to ask the Spirit Life team to come. But as they're coming, I just want you to think about those three areas: acceptance, affection, and appreciation. I want you to think about your own life, where you line up there, where. And what are some ways that you can do to combat it? What do you mean, Pastor? What can you do? And can I tell you that part of doing is just become conscious of it? You are conduits of the anointing of God. You are agents of change, because you're the people of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this building tonight and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that He accepts you. All you got to do is ask Him to come into your life and forgive you of your sins, and He will. And if you've never done that, would you just lift up your hand and say, "Pastor, I need to know Him as Savior."
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.